Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for June 15th,
2025. Ileana, let's just jump in. Sound good?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. You are a cash flow kitten in this area because what we're talking about here is coaching on the financial planning and tracking software. You need a budget. So you're hosting a mastery conversation in Abundance Bound on the You Need a Budget. And you're wondering how to kind of structure the conversation. And then you gave me an outline. So let's talk through the outline, and you'll have slides and all that good stuff. So you kind of have your talk in three different segments. What makes this system different, the problems that this system solves, and then how to kind of learn the system. And I actually think that maybe the way you should structure this is do the first like portion on what makes this different. Like, why would you consider this software versus all the other different softwares out there? Then get questions, maybe. Just or
Oh.
just ask for questions. Now, is there any questions you have related to what we just talked about? Just to see, taking in information. And then you go on to, okay, and you say at the beginning, we're going to talk in two different sections. One, we're going to talk about how this is different than all the other programs, and I'll get any questions about that. And then we're going to talk about like what kind of problems this solves and how it solves it. And then questions after that. Just so, I don't know, for some reason, I feel like maybe that will make it more lively and less just like slide after slide. You talk all this time and then questions, because usually, as if anybody listening to this has in the cash flow program, when I design a talk and there's several like sort of frameworks for doing that, I never end with questions because you can kind of get a bummer question, then it just kind of ends. And but this is slightly different, okay? And it's different, and it's okay for you to end with questions because this is kind of a technical thing, and you have Miata will wrap it up in a way, so it's co-hosted. What I'm talking about in cash flow is like it's just you, or you're introduced and then you have the whole thing to yourself kind of thing. So this is slightly different, so I think that you would be able to, that's no not going to be a problem.
But maybe have like a little cap thing to end with, so that the last beat is like something that's not a weird question if it does happen to end on a weird question.
Yes. So good question. So your job is to monitor the time. And so you open it up for the first section of questions, take a few. And if you feel like, okay, I think we've kind of touched on that, you go, you know what? Let me start into our second session so we can move this along and we'll have more time for questions in just a sec, just a few minutes. Then you did it up. And then at the end, you can make an, are you, do you have a special offer, or what is your offer? Like, what are you offering?
Yeah, I do have there's like the single session and the three pack that we talked about. And of the two rates, I decided to go with the lower one for like, I think I put on the flyer like till the end of July or something like that.
Yeah.
I might make it till the end of August just to give it a little bit more time, but I'll have a lower rate for some introductory month-long period.
Yeah. So I think what you want to do is watch the time, and you can then say, okay, like at the 7 minute mark, I'm going to say, okay, just to honor our time here today, let me just shift gears for a second and let you know how you can work with me. Da -da 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 -da. Throw up your slide. Yeah. So you just do that. You just, I'm going to, okay, we're going to stop there. I'm going to switch gears real quick. You know, you just say that because you want to honor the time. And then that gives me out a few minutes at the end. I was looking over here. There's this website called Day, DaySpedia, PEDIA, Dayspedia, don't know, .com, DaySpedia. And what that is an online clock. So you don't have to look at the teeny tiny clock on your desktop. I have a giant clock here, and you can turn it on analog and like night mode or whatever, but it's a nice big clock so I can just easily glance at it. Yeah, so that will help. Okay, so then into the meat of it. The three sections, what makes you need a budget different? The method is to give every dollar a job so you don't overspend in, you know, if you overspend in a category, it asks you to make an intentional decision to move the money to a different category. It has a reputation for a steep learning curve. And so what you're saying here is because of all the work we do in Abundance Bound to like get all our know your number, get all that, what does she call it? The like when you put,
Past.
yeah, like you do your forecast, you have all the information you need to just set it up real quick. So you can say, if you look online and you hear that this has a reputation, don't worry about it. What people are complaining about is all the work we already do here in Abundance Bound. So if you've done, you know, the forecast, you'll have everything you need to just set this up real easily. So I would
Okay.
frame it like that. And then it has is been built for clarity. So the but is the one of the things that makes it different is that it's very visual compared to Quicken.
I haven't extensively used Quicken, so I'm going to do more looking into it so that I can be a little clearer.
A bunch of numbers.
It's a bunch of numbers, and it's not, this is not a bunch of numbers. It's
Right.
beautiful.
Right.
And they really like the UI is beautiful. They encourage you to like put emojis on things, so it's like welcoming and cute. There are a lot of it's very visual.
And tell me, because you have another thing here that says you're looking for something that's ADHD neurodivergent friendly. How is that? How is it friendly?
Yeah, so recently they had a guest speaker come on to the YNAB. It is a personalized dashboard, Kate. Recently they had a guest speaker come on to talk about her personal experience of using YNAB with ADHD. She talked a lot about like the abstract reasoning part, the abstract reasoning difficulty that comes with ADHD, and how YNAB just brings a lot of concreteness. So sometimes in the community there will be a question around like, well, this part of my forecast changed. What does that mean for everything else? And YNAB and Miata talks about how, you know, the reason we do plan savings the way we do is that it all sort of comes out in the wash. But sometimes you want to know concretely, but like, if I go over there, then what else has to change? And you do that physical change in YNAB when you move the money. So the sort of like wrapping your brain around the gen like the foggy abstract part, it just gets crystal clear. Like this is exactly how much money is in every category, and there's no guessing, no vagueness.
Okay, so no vagueness is really what helps.
No vagueness.
I would lead with that
No video.
because that's actually what makes it different. Because there's, I mean, you can kind of argue that other software systems give every dollar a job and put your stuff in the buckets and stuff like that. But what this is really, it's a visual presentation. That links that you have found links absolutely perfectly, like it just lays right on top the work you're doing in Abundance Bound. And it gives a clarity and a concreteness rather than a vagueness that can kind of take a neurodivergent brain off the rails and be like, why am I doing this anyway? So I think that's the strongest thing about this, and of course, you're showing things. I would also suggest that on every slide or everything, you have you need a budget, YNAB, because you're going to say YNAB, YNAB, YNAB. And if someone's not seeing that every time you say it, they might go, wait, what is she talking about? Because this is, you know, this like the back of your hand, but everybody here is just doesn't know the lingo. And the other thing is you're a fast talker because your brain works. It's okay. Me too. Our brains work really fast. So for you personally, this whole thing is an opportunity for you to get stronger at breathing and pauses and just slowing yourself down a little bit.
Yeah, that's great. I was going to treat it like a pitch and script it and read it,
Okay.
which will also help me slow down.
Yeah, cool. Okay, sounds good. And so I would move the visual and the ADHD stuff up to what makes it different. And I would lead with that point. And I would actually take the reputation for it being difficult down and put that right in the nugget where you're talking about your offer.
Got it.
You want to say it something like, okay, so for those of you who are going to be curious about this, for those of you who are like, oh my gosh, this sounds really great. It sounds like this is going to work for me. And you go online and you start poking around, you're going to find some people who are like, this is hard. This has a learning curve. The other systems are so quick. Don't get scared. What they're really complaining about is all the work you've already, like, do it there and then go, and we can work together.
That's
If you
great.
want it, it will go fast for you to set up because you've done a lot of the work. But if you want it to go faster and just like not worry about it and just be taught how to do it, if you're like me and you just want someone to show you what to do and not, I like someone to show me what to do and to tell me what I have to get to ignore.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we can do together.
Great.
Show you exactly what to do and what you can ignore. So if that appeals to you, I work like this and this and blah, blah, blah. So I would pull that and contextualize it down there.
That makes so much sense to not start with. This is really difficult, but let me tell you why
Correct. Because I would be like,
it's
and exit the
worth it.
top. No. Yeah. And then let's see. The flexibility about, this works whether you have a lot of money or don't have a lot of, but up in that category of what makes it different, if I'm listening to this talk, the question you're going to get is, how is this different than Quicken? And how is this different than QuickBooks? I'm going to guess the answer lies with the visuals mostly. But I would, do some, just Google, because people have already done the breakdown for you. Just Google Quicken versus YNAB and you'll get a nice blog post about it. But that's going to be, it's not that you have to, it's not that you have to have that as segment, but just be prepared to answer the question. But you could also have it as a segment and then you don't have to have the question. It's like, how is this different from, here are the two main differences from Quicken, and here are the two main differences from QuickBook. If you're this type of person, those programs might be good for you. But if you're this type of person, this might be a great fit.
Yeah, that makes sense. And can I also talk about the things that are similar? Like a lot of people worry I won't be able to do the same reporting, but you totally can.
Oh,
Like,
yeah, say that too. Yeah. And I think that it's important for you at the very top to contextualize this whole thing of why you're here today. It's because you really think, for creative brains, this is the best program out there. You were just like, I love this. And now I want everyone to love it. And that's why I'm here to talk about it. Instead of them just assuming, well, she used it and she coaches now. And so she just wants us to coach with her. It's like, no, this is an amazing system that you don't hear about as often as the other ones. Yeah. So I want to, yeah. So just, it's a good contextualization. So you're presenting the differences. Then, any questions about that? Any concerns about that? Okay. Then, okay. Now let's talk about the problems it solves. It's beautiful. Talk about, and it's beautiful, but what? So what? So you might want to open it more often.
Yeah, exactly.
As like, oh no, I have to do Quicken and face the numbers, So it's beautiful, which means this. It's customizable, which solves this problem. Like, we really have one thing for each of the things you're talking about. Like, you can visualize your money. So what? So why is that a great thing? I'm wondering, you know, when you just say you're paying down debt and forging a new relationship with credit cards, is that different than any of the other systems? Like, don't they all kind of let you monitor your debt?
So the way that YNAB works with credit cards is a little unique in that when you, if I go to the grocery store and I pay for my groceries with a credit card, it will take the money that I put in my grocery category and move it to my credit card payoff category. So it is built to have you treat your credit card like cash. And so it means that if you are going over on a credit card, it's going to make sure that you're aware of that. But it just it's built in a way that's really clean and built to help you spend within your means, basically.
So that doesn't happen automatically, right? You have to say, I bought this at the grocery store on this credit card, and then it moves it to the thing.
Yeah, so
Like
the
you're
when you enter the transaction, you enter it from the credit card account, and then it automatically moves the money from the groceries category to the credit card payoff category. It's
okay.
cool.
Yeah, okay. And do you have like a little video of that? That you can play, I, like a little screenshot. I don't know if someone want to see it. That might be too complex on a Zoom. I don't know how these things work on a Zoom call type thing, but
I could find a way because I think it is really helpful to see it visually, especially because so much of what I'm talking about is how it is visually appealing.
yeah.
I think whether it's like a screenshot or some sort of like a GIF, I'll find something, and YNAB has a lot of
Yeah.
fascinating appeal.
Yeah. Just sort of like, ooh, okay. And what might be interesting, this might be too much work, but if it's handy, like it would be interesting if you could get a screenshot of what something looks like, the information being displayed in Quicken and the same information kind of being displayed in this, because that would really give me like a, oh yeah, okay. Now, another question you might get just off the top of my head is someone who's like, oh, I love the way this looks. Oh, much of my life is going to be sucked away if I move from Quicken to this.
You can download your Quicken history as a QBO file and upload it to YNAB. It would take 45 seconds. So the transition could be extremely seamless.
Okay. And then you just have to go in and zhuzh a little bit inside, like to make sure everything's in its right category. And this is something you could help them with. So you might say that, then that might be your ending three layers. One, this has a reputation. If you start looking around, you might that, but no, with abundance bound, seamless. If you're liking what you're seeing today and you're like, ooh, I would like to pull my stuff in, they make that easy. They want you to come and use their program. And if it takes about 45 seconds, but that is something I can help you with. If you want all the setup or the transfer to just be easy and seamless, you can work with me. So that lines up really nicely in that little chunk. Okay. Do you have any other questions?
No, I think splitting it into two sections rather than three and starting with the sort of like big picture, this is what the program is, and then getting into features is really helpful. I hadn't really started writing it, but then I looked at the calendar and realized this was the last cash flow call before my
Oh,
presentation. Like, I need something.
like.
Exactly. So yeah, that was really helpful. Just to echo it back so that I'm making sure that I'm clear. Opening with a, here's why I'm so in love with this software. Thank you for letting me talk about it for an hour. Into what makes the software unique, questions about the sort of big picture of the program, and then getting into like, here's a feature, let's look at a picture of it. Here's the problem it solves. Here's another feature, picture of it, problem it solves. Then into talking about if you are with another program and you want to switch, here's why
Well,
I'm a coach.
you can insert a question. Does anybody have any questions after you finish with the features?
Oh, yeah.
Question. Then your three-layered closing.
Okay, great. Great. And
Yeah.
then when it comes to questions, if somebody asks something that I feel like is sort of out of bounds or off the rails, I can like redirect them to another resource or say, I'm so sorry, that's not quite in the scope of what we're talking about today. But like I'm wondering about like if somebody asks something really granular or that would get me into the weeds, how to
Yeah.
elegantly dodge it.
You would say, ooh, I love those kind of questions. They're so granular, but that's really something that we would need to have just a personal discussion about as it relates to your personal stuff. Happy to do that. You know, that's what happy to do that as a client. Like that's what I do with my clients. And yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's totally okay to indicate that that's a question outside of the scope or too granular. Yeah, that's appropriate. And sometimes I have to say to a person, that's a really great question. In order for me to answer that, I would need to ask you several questions, which we can't do here. Because that's the truth, is sometimes like someone asks me a question, I'm like, oh, well, we need to ask a few questions before I just guess. Yeah. Now, last key point. The reason I want you to watch the time and to end the second Q&A to give you, 7 minutes of nice breathing room to land the plane is so that you're not rushing through. This is how I work the three-layered thing. That's the most important part of the talk, by the way. Everybody else can go online and look up this thing, but this is really about I can make your life easier. And what so many people do, they totally self-sabotage themselves by losing track of the time and having to rush their pitch at the end. They do that. And then they're just like, anywhere with people. And it's like this. And it's like two packages. And I'll email me and I'll email you the information. And it's just like, okay. They either do that by not paying attention to the time, or they're so uncomfortable and nervous about like making an offer and saying a price that they leave it to the end and they just blurt it all out. You see this on webinars too. Their voice changes, their whole demeanor, like, hey, now we're gonna talk about the I need you to give me money. Like, yeah, you don't want to do that. And that's part of the you want, that's part of why it's like you want to watch your speed so that people can absorb the information, but also so it goes nice and seamlessly into, and this is how you work with me.
Got
And
it.
it's just great because you're not asking people for money. You're giving them an opportunity for this to be easier. And if someone has the money and wants to do this, they'll pay you.
Great.
Yeah. So there's no like, there should be no air of it, everything should be in alignment. And a lot of people give a good talk and then, and people are like, whoa, what just happened? Unconsciously, they're like, okay, huh?
Got it. Thank
And
you so much.
when you're welcome, because when you lose track of the time, you lose your authority. People are like, oh, she's a little had to rush there at the end. And yeah, it's not, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about people who are like, I have 5 points to deliver, and they get to number three, and there's no more time, and then they just rush the two or leave the two off, and then everyone's confused and feeling like, oh, well, I wanted all 5 points. And that's the taste in their mouth when they leave. And you want them to be very clear and very clear on what you can do for them.
Great. I'm excited. Okay, wonderful.
I'm
Thank
so glad you're excited. I think it's going to go great. I think this is a really good foundational questions and homework, and happy to throw in my 2 cents.
you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good job. So, hi, everybody. I am Christine Aller. I am the creator and coach of Creating Cashflow Program. And this is a forum in which I can coach and answer any questions you have. There is an opportunity for people to send in their questions in advance, and I do those first. And then, whatever time we have left over is open for coaching. I see that Denise has her hand raised already. That's the best way to just let me know that you want to be coached, because that lets me monitor the time. So, Beth.
Yeah, maybe this is
Hi.
more of a Miata question.
Yeah. That would be my answer. Yeah. Beth is a lawyer, and you asked about your taxes, and I am not the person to give you tax advice. So it's either a Miata question, or we have a member of Abundance Bound that does taxes.
Yeah, I have
So,
a tax guy. I just was just confused by self-employment tax and why my taxes are so much higher than they were last year because I've been self-employed.
right. But that's a really important question to get answered. And that's why I
Yeah.
said there's, you might want to check out Elena. It's always good to have someone just, she's not, doesn't have to double check all the whole taxes, but she could look over that little calculation for you.
Yeah, I think there was some more stuff. There was a lot. It's kind of crazy because what happens is I have a vendor for my credit cards, but then employer other vendors are required to give me 1099. So I've had duplicate reporting of income, so my income looks higher than it is. So I'm having to iron out all those details with my accountant to figure out what the real income is. So there's all of that, and then there's what are deductions and what are not. So
Okay. Yeah. And if you wanted a second opinion, her website is dramafreetaxes.com.
okay, I'll make a note of that.
It's in the chat.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks,
Okay, thank
Stacy.
you. Bye.
Yeah. Cool. Denise, hi. I can't hear you. Unmute, Denise.
I think she's working on it.
Oh, okay.
She put a finger up saying,
Yeah.
1 second.
If
Got
you're
it.
on your phone, Denise, and you tap in the middle of the screen, the option to unmute should show up. Not yet. Not yet. I wish I could be of more help, but I'm useless. I wish I could do it automatically, but I
Is
can't.
there not a way if you hover over her three dots in participants, you can't do it?
I can ask her to unmute, but I
Oh.
can't make her do it. I don't have the power. I would like the power. I would use it wisely if they gave it to me. Okay, Denise, I'm going to move to Alexandra, but you just keep trying. And once you get it,
Interrupt
don't.
me.
What?
Just interrupt me
Yeah,
if you
just
get it.
interrupt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And leave yourself unmuted. Yeah. So cool. Okay, Alexandra. Hi again.
Hi again. I feel so bad for Denise.
We'll
We
get her. We'll get her.
we'll get her. She'll be there.
No person left behind.
Let's see. I wanted to pop on the call initially just because I hadn't been here for a minute and I wanted to kind of come in and support and listen. And then I realized I kind of wanted to be witnessed and see if you had any thoughts and maybe just put a timeline on things because of everything, both small and large. A lot of my sort of self, my in-between jobs work has kind of kept th this kept happening. It kept getting kind of like sort of swept behind. And I did my zone work for Launch into Abundance the other day, and so I did list out many of the things that I need to do. And this is for audiobook specifically, but also, you know, it bleeds into voiceover stuff because it's both of them. So one of the big things that I want to do and I'm working on doing with audiobooks is you may have heard of a website thing called Ahab. Have you heard about this? Okay, so Ahab is it's Penguin Random House specific, but it all publishers can go there to request auditions and all this
Oh,
other stuff.
okay.
So we all have profiles on the site. And I listened to a talk like 2 months ago about sort of the best way to create your profile. So I had this big plan of redoing my profile and then emailing everyone with, "Look, I have a new profile." And so my emails to everyone couldn't happen until the profile happened, and then the profile kept getting pushed. Like it all just kept getting pushed back. So, let's see. I'm trying to make this small. I have my granular steps of what needs to happen with the profile. I did write out sort of what I want the next month to look like in terms of my marketing stuff, including not waiting for the profile to be finished before I reach out to people right now. And I don't know if I just need to be seen in this work or if I need to have some accountability around deadlines for this. I did just book another book, which is awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you. The first quarter was completely dead, and the second quarter has been pretty good. So that's great. And I think there's another piece of this. Oh, thank you. Kate's so brilliant. She's always putting it up there and everything. I think the other side of this, the other piece of this for me is definitely feeling that what is enough work, because, when we sort of get enough financially in terms of a job, and when that money is coming, you still kind of want to keep the ball grow. You know what I mean? So, like, I know from Abundance Bound that it's not, I have to keep making more and more and more, but we all have side businesses. There's also this feeling of, I kind of do want to keep the ball or whatever up in the air, because if I drop it, then in the future it goes down, and then I didn't make the.
It's called keeping the pipeline full. You have to do the marketing while you're doing the jobs that you're having coming in. You have to keep doing the marketing so that when those jobs end, you'll have other jobs in the pipeline.
Right. And I'm hoping to get to the place where there's enough fluidity in there. Like right now, the mountain is very steep. Of the rock that I'm pushing up the map. You guys don't know my analogies. They're terrible. They're always terrible. But you know what I mean? I kind of want the slope of it
Oh
over
God,
the
yeah. I
year
understand.
to start to be a little more consistent. So I know this is when I kind of do my emails and I know what they're about. And when I'm not doing the emails, I know what I'm researching for authors. And I want to create a calendar so that I'm like, okay, you checked in this with this author on this date about the book. 6 months later, because ADHD, I'm not going to fucking remember that 6 months later I have to check in with that author. It's going to be completely gone. So that's on the list. So the list might be overwhelming. I don't know. What am I doing? What's happening? I'm prepping. That's all I know. Anyway, this is,
Well,
yeah.
what's interesting about listening to you talk is you know what needs to be done. And it just sounds like other things pop up.
Yeah, I just need to time block a little better, I think.
Get in the way
Yeah.
of executing what you know needs to be done. And it
There's
also.
a creativity to the what needs to be done right now, which isn't a, I know this is going to take an hour, or I know this is going to take 2 hours, because there's an X factor to the redoing of these things that any creative brain knows means we avoid it like the plague, because we don't know when we'll come out of the rabbit hole.
And sometimes with some things, if I have to do something and I'm like, okay, not only do I have to do this, but I'm going to have to learn how to do that thing to do this. And then I'll be like, that's a day.
Yeah.
I don't mean 12 hours, but I mean, that's it. That's like the task of this day until I get it done. Because I actually don't know quite how much time I'll need. It
Right,
could go really
right.
fast, and then I can go on to something else, but I'm not expecting myself to do anything else but that one thing for that day. So
Which is
sometimes,
scary to me. It's scary to me. Wait, maybe I need to
in
turn off my AC
which
completely.
is scary, the idea of like a day or the idea of how much time things take or.
Yeah, so I assume there are other people in our community who have similar, if not the same thing. If I have a task that is not Great, you sent the email, check the email, you know, something very, very clear and confined. If I have something whose edges are not defined and I don't have the whole day, I get very scared of the task. And I'm working on it. Like this week I put 2 hours in knowing that I wasn't going to accomplish. I just said the 2 hours are going to this thing. But yes, the way you described it, it feels very out of control.
And it might not be the method for you. I'm just saying there are things that require sometimes a lot of space to be given to it on the calendar. It doesn't have to also be it all at once, because what you just said is a very similar way to do it, just different, which is 2 hours towards this project and we'll see how far we get. And then you move a little forward. Your life, because it's entrepreneurial, because it's creative, and because you're the engine, the entrepreneurial means you're the engine behind it. You're moving a lot of things forward at once. The marketing part, the client acquisition part, like the serving of the client part, like all these things. And your weeks are about like, ooh, what's the next step on this? What's the next step on this? What's the next step on this? And truly, that's all you need to know is the next step. The next step. And sometimes you can sit down and write out, like you did with a profile, okay, I need to do this, and then this, and then this, and this. Those are all the little next steps. But you have to do the first one first before you get to the second one. And you just have to do the first one first. And that might be the only thing you do in a particular week on that project to move it forward, but it's one step forward. So there's clarity
And
around the steps, and then there's when am I going to do the steps?
and I think also the balance of, I know we had talked a couple months ago about, like when you're on a book, that's hours toward, that piece of your life. But I don't feel like, because that is literally the only book right now until October, I don't feel like I can. I feel like I still have to keep the marketing piece bouncing a little bit.
Oh, I would recommend you keep it bouncing a little bit. So then you decide on what the ratio is going to be. Is it going to be
Got it.
80% work on the book and 20% marketing? Okay, and then what does that mean? The 20%, 2 hours a week, 4 hours a week? What is that little portion? And then it's a little portion because I got all this work to do. So what is the best thing to do with the limited amount of time I have? And it might just be like getting those emails out.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you. Does that feel like, because that's immediate and this other piece is like kind of
The
takes
profile
more
piece.
time, the profile piece like just takes more time.
I think you're making a smart decision. You were like, it would be cool if I could announce the profile for this email, but instead of delaying the email, just announce something else. Talk about something else.
And I just had a book launch this past
Perfect.
week, so I
Or
can.
that you just got this book. Like, yeah, just announce something else. And then when you're done with the profile, that's the thing that you then announce. Yeah. So I think it's better to set the annual schedule for yourself of when you want to reach out to your people to let them know you haven't died. You're still living and working. And then when that time comes around, you just look around for something to say.
Got it.
You're not waiting or you just look around for something to say. And eventually the profile will be the thing. So those are going out on a regular basis.
Regardless of what anything else that's happening.
Correct. And then, so let's say you do that 4 times a year. I'm not prescribing, I'm just saying hypothetically. You do it 4 times a year, but then at a time in between when you would normally send the announcement emails, something wonderful happens. Just throw another email in there.
Okay.
It doesn't have to wait if you don't want to. If you want to announce something right away, like you got a nomination for something or whatever, yeah, you can just throw an extra email in there. No one's counting and barely anybody's paying attention. So it's all good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. 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 Do
So
that.
I have another question
Yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
When you're feeling overwhelmed about all of this, how do you talk to yourself about that? Like, how do you get yourself out of the overwhelm freeze?
It's a very good question. There are a couple of different things that have been happening. I think I have in the past, and I know it's true for Abundance Bound work, and I think I can kind of globalize it out. Like in the past, I have tried to create false control. And creating false control looks like, making lists, preparing to prepare to prepare to prepare. And I'm really working on moving smartly. I think with this, because there was so much going on and there is so much going on, it was very, very easy instead of like, it was very, very easy to just be ignorant about it. It was very, very easy to just be like, well, I'm finishing this book, or this is happening in my acting stuff, or my father needs this. Like it was very easy to kind of shove it under the rug, which is why I think it's taken 2 months for me to even sit down like I did this week and say, okay, this needs to happen. And like you were saying to Eliana, because it's also a new muscle, because I'm working on something that I don't know the answer to. I don't know how it's going to look. I don't know how to fix it. I like it's a lot of learning. I don't know if this is answering the question, but I did reach out to someone in the community who had offered assistance to get her advice. And so that was a nice twofer because she's also a publisher. So and she's very, very supportive. So that kind of helped ground me a little bit more. I think in general, I'm better at talking to myself, but I'm also still very good at avoiding and very good at preparing to prepare to prepare to be ready to prepare. So those are sort of, I think, the things that I'm trying to work on.
And how do you do time away from work, time off of work?
It would be a really good question to answer if I were better at doing time off from work. I have been scheduling social time. So either with friends or I've been taking myself on dates because I'm meeting myself. So that's been, in fact, that's one of my zones right now is, my own joy and fun. So I've been working on that, but that falls by the wayside when everything else, when overwhelm happens with everything else, what gets lost is, I guess, me a little bit, taking care of me and that side of me. So, yeah. Did I answer the question? Okay.
This is good. And so you attempt to put that time away from work into your schedule, but sometimes it gets like shoved off the cliff as the week goes on.
Yep, or forgotten about to prep for if I'm feeling particularly
Have you
stressed out.
ever experimented with a full day of the week that's just your day? Like working 6 days a week and just having, we'll just take Sunday, like Sunday off.
I have experimented with it. I have not become consistent with it.
Did you like it?
It's very scary because
And what's scary about it?
it's there's doing in the not doing, meaning like I have a day off. So what can I do? I need to like run my errands. I need like as opposed to day off. So I am a TV binger. That's my safe place. And it's the fastest, it's McDonald's for my brain. So it's the fastest way to shut my brain off
I
and
get
just
that.
sit. But I really would like to find how do you have time off and just be without McDonald'sing it? And I haven't totally found the answer to that.
If you had 2 days of the month that were off work, what do you think those 2 days would give back to you and give back to your work?
There's nothing in my brain right now. I don't. I know, I feel like in theory, rest is good. And laying is good. I don't know.
Here's the thing about, 'cause what I sense about you is you're ambitious. You take your career really seriously. Like you want to be diligent. You want to be good. You want to like accomplish things so you can move forward. Am I sensing that correctly? Yeah. And you're doing the work. You're doing it. And even if you're not doing it, you are on top of it. You understand the things you want to do and where you'd like to take your career. That's how it sounds like to me. So competency and conscientiousness, you've got that on lock. I actually think the thing that will help you is getting a stronger muscle around stepping away from the work, which is different in that it's not the same thing as, oh, just giving your brain a rest and just watching some whatever. 'Cause we all do. We all have to do that too. Just like my brain just needs to vegetate. And that's not bad. That's fine. But this is different. This is where the fun and the real kind of relaxation and the joy, that's what you're creating space for over here, not just like rest. And when someone like you, starts experimenting with a day to themselves, it is not restful at first. You're not good at it. But
I don't even know how to do it. Like you say that, and I'm like, what would I do? I
I
don't
don't
know how to
know.
do it.
I don't.
I don't have an answer.
Right. And you're going to do it, and it's not going to feel good, and you're going to fill it with stuff. And then you're gonna feel bad about filling it with stuff because that wasn't the
Plan,
assignment. Like,
right?
yeah. And then you just, oh, well, I just won't do that anymore. And I'll just work 7 days a week. And I mean, I know you're not working 24/7,
Right.
but I don't think you're stepping away from work so you can feel the magnetism back to the work. Because
Got
that
it.
is a really fun feeling to be like, wow, I've been away from my work and now I actually want to do it. Good feeling. And you're a creative person. So your brain needs other sources of stimuli rather than just what's on my to-do list and let me record this audiobook. That's peak creativity. But your brain needs like meandering creativity, non-result oriented wandering, play, and fun. So based on just this brief little time I've spent with you so far in your life, I think a great experiment for you to do from now through the end of the year, 2 days a month, not together. You can do them together, but separate. Separate is better because it's more reps. You have to build up to 2 days together. You have to build up to a long weekend. And because this isn't vacation, I know you could take a vacation, but that's a thing that has a purpose. I'm talking about purposelessness. But the purpose of it is to just sort of, it's like giving your brain a shower. That's what time away from work does. It's just like a nice cleanse. It's a nice car wash for your brain. So now you're like, oh, I can come back and do some more stuff and not feel so like overwhelmed and kind of slogging or catching up. It's just like, and I know you're like, yeah, but a full day away, that's less things on your to-do list. Yeah, but you need to have that kind of texture in your life because your life is going to go by. And this idea of working, 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 and then at some point it'll all come together and you'll have all this free time. It doesn't work that way. You'll get more successful and busier, and with more people asking you to do things and more opportunities coming that you have to sift through. So I want your muscle, when you get really successful and the books are just flowing, to be able to step away and give your brain a car wash and then come back to the work. Your career is going to be there if you take 2 days a month off. And I would rather you get good at stepping away from your work and coming back to your work and stepping away than never stepping away and have your body go, oh, we're shutting this down because she hasn't washed the car. So now we're going to break the car. Just wash it twice a month. Yeah, I would be interested to see how that actually impacts all the things you were talking about today. Because I actually think you're someone who's, I understand you have a brain that is like not cooperating with the like linear process of things. And that's hard. But I think that's even more important that you step away because you're working twice as hard. You are working twice as hard to keep things together and moving. And you should actually be acknowledged for that. Everybody neurodivergent is working twice as hard and masking to even have conversations like this. So you deserve and need some car washes. And I actually think that's the answer to what you actually asked today, even though it doesn't seem like it is.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, and I'm glad that that's one of it sort of also reinforces like that really needs to be one of my zones, like in my life right now, that that's a very important muscular zone. I don't know if you
So,
can have a muscular zone, but yes.
yeah, building that muscle. So, when you get off the call today, put those two dates for every month in your calendar. They can change, but at least get them in there. And they have to be sacred. You have to be like, every time they approach, I promise you, especially the first two or three, as they approach on your calendar, you're going to think, no fucking way can I take this whole day off. You got to test that theory. You got to see what explodes if you take the day off. You can move the day. I'll let you move it around in the month to adjust your
I don't know if you
thinking.
should even let me do that because I can picture me, it's like when you go on a diet and you're like, well, I have one cheat day a week and then one is on Tuesday and then the next one's on Wednesday and you're like, but that was the end of this week and that was the, like my brain likes to like
That's
cheat.
fine. Put them and put them in and keep them in and work around them. Because we work around caregiving, we work around illness. We can do it. We just never think to work around pleasure and joy and fun and play anymore. And that's what's wrong with our society.
Yeah.
And the more that you can have this, it changes the texture of your life. And you start to see, oh, the career is still there and things don't explode and everything. And it's different than taking a vacation, and it's different than just vegetating and giving your brain that kind of rest. It's a routine injection of play and meandering and non-results oriented activity. It's routine. And I think that's what's missing. And I'm only saying this to you, Alexandra, because you're at a really high level of having pieces of your life really in place. And so at this level, when I see clients here, it's like, oh, okay, here's the challenge. Now we need to do this
Okay.
because you've spent years doing what you're doing now.
Yeah.
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 And it's time for you to add this space in.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
If it doesn't work, I'll give you a dollar. No, you'll be even. So you, it's a win-win. You won't lose anything.
Right.
Yeah. But now
Okay.
to the end of the year, this experiment, so that you can get over the resistance to it, and it's long enough so you can finally go, oh, I see what this is giving me. And then at the end of the year, I'd love to hear, like, what did it give you? And what did it give your work?
Yeah.
Yeah. And this was such a hard lesson for me to learn. My own life coach was on me for years. It took me a long time. And if I can intervene and just be like, do it earlier than I did, you'll be better off for it.
Okay.
Because now I'm like, oh man, I could have been doing this for so much longer.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank
I
you for
will do my best. Yeah.
letting me impose this that you really
No,
not what
thank
I
you.
wanted,
This
but
was,
okay.
yeah, no, this was great. I appreciate
Okay.
it. Thank you.
Good,
Thank
good.
you.
Take
Thank
good
you.
care. Yeah. Denise, are you with us? Are you back? I swear this technology it giveth and it taketh away of my life.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay, Denise,
Oh
you're
my
going to be
gosh.
worth the wait. I know it. I know it.
It is. Thank you. It was actually in my settings that the microphone turned off at first. So thank you for your patience. And my question for you is about. I'm in an exploratory, like very early exploratory kind of phase around like a side hustle. And it has to do with writing, maybe ad copy for ad agencies. So I supplement with Lyft, like that's, I'm a Lyft driver supplementarily, and one of my customers is somehow connected to that. And he said, when I told him about my background, he said, you should write commercials. You can write and you can approach these ad agencies and then you can, maybe direct them if you want. And so I loved the idea. It's something that I know absolutely nothing about. And I was just really quickly wondering if you had any suggestions on places to start kind of exploring, in this exploratory. Because if it, to be honest with you, like if I had to create like a picture or a vision, I would put myself in some of the commercials.
Yeah.
Would hire the people that I know, what I mean? So I'm just wondering
Right.
how I would even go about like doing my due diligence to know what is required.
Okay. And what is the background that that person heard about and was like, "Hey, you should do this."
I think that I write, and that, I have an acting background.
There was something, I mean, it was honestly, it was like last October, so it's a little bit vague. And he had told me the name of it, and I thought I wrote it down, but then I did not find it. But there's like a term, but it's like you're basically like, let's say, for example, I approach the National Organization for Adoption, or the Foster Parent Association, or foster parent section of the government or something. And I was like, hi, listen, I wrote kind of like a spec ad for you. Would you like to check it out? And I had something written, and they could say, oh yeah, we like it. And I could say, okay, well, I'm interested in coming on. I don't think I would actually want to direct, but maybe I would want to produce and also possibly be in one and be the writer. I'd be happy with just getting writing credit as well.
Right. Okay. So I'm not saying I know a great deal about how that world works, but let me talk with you about this a little bit, because there's the ad agency, which is responsible usually for the creative. Like, an ad agency is hired by an organization, company, to come up with the concept of, like, usually it's a whole branding campaign, and the commercials are a part of the whole branding campaign. And then the organization signs off and goes, that sounds great. And then the advertising agency will go to a production company that will produce the commercials. And then the production company has relationships with different directors, and directors have agents. So some production companies will go to agents and say, who do you have on your roster for commercial directors? Let me look at their reels, and we'll pick who's going to do this. And so that, to my understanding, is sort of the big blocks of people involved. And the production company is a production company because they have the full team, lighting, gaffing, sound, like all of the people. So the ad agency is just like, here's the commercial that we wrote, make it happen. And the ad agency isn't hiring anybody, because that's the production company's job to hire all the people. So if you come in and you're like, I want to make this, I have this ad, I want to make it for you, they would be like, okay. But then you'd be in charge of getting everybody to make it happen, because the organization or corporation isn't going to do that part of it. So now it's like, at least you can see these places where you could start to network or shadow people, or volunteer as an apprentice in production companies.
Can I interject something
Yeah,
really
yeah,
quick?
yeah.
So I wish, again, I wish that this was clearer for me, like I had a better remembrance of the like exact conversation. But so the sense that I get in response to what you're saying is that he was saying something along the lines of it in some sectors, it's kind of evolving the process. So his job was that he worked for like a bank, but he was kind of like the in-house advert like responsible for finding the advertising guy. So he was saying like you can approach these companies and they have a department that is like their own in-house advertising.
Correct.
That's what he was saying. So he was in a way, I think, kind of, and I remember him saying like it's kind of like evolved, like it's kind of not, so it's not the model that we're used to anymore. So he was saying that like he worked with people in different communities to do ads about X, Y, and Z. So he was able to hire people that he knew and he liked. So he was kind of, I guess, like the in-house. I don't know exactly his title, but like what you're describing, I think at least some of that fell onto him. And he was saying that I should directly approach the companies and ask who their such and such is.
Yeah, do you have an
If I'm
do you have
asking
an
you how to do it and I don't even know how to explain it properly, that's kind
no,
of like
no,
a math equation that has too many unknown variables. But I'm even like trying to figure out how I would do the research to find out about it. But definitely that was the sense that like this is a kind of not evolved, I keep you that's the wrong word, but newer version where these companies have their own kind of in-house person.
Right. No, I totally agree with you. And thank you for the clarification on what he was talking about. So that is just that same structure with part of it brought inside a corporation. So instead of hiring the ad agency, they have an in-house marketing team, which comes up with the branding and the thing and the thing, and then
Right.
hire a production company that has all the people. So there's now two places for you to start, and this is all this is how it works. You get a little breadcrumb and then you follow another breadcrumb and then you get another lead and then you follow the lead. So everything we're doing here with like, well, I'm not quite sure what he said, that's how everything starts. Huh, I think the thing and maybe the thing is here. So you're just poking around. That's part of this exploratory process. So you're
Yeah.
doing this is how it is. This is how it starts. So you can approach corporations, organizations, companies, and say, do you have an in-house marketing team?
Yes. Yes,
Who is
exactly.
it? And then you go, and then they'll say yes or no. And if it's yes, then you're like, who would I talk to who handles the hiring of the creatives? That's Mary. Great. What's her email or what's her number? And then it really is about connecting with Mary, which can be hard because you send an email, you don't get an answer, you'll have to call, you'll have, because Mary isn't looking for you. She might be, but at the moment she's busy. Mary's busy. Everybody's busy. But that doesn't mean they don't want you or don't like you, or it means nothing except that they're busy. So then it's about getting on the radar, because what you want to ask Mary is, do you hire outside writers for the team? Or I'm interested in being part of this team and making this kind of content for organizations. And they'll either be interested in you, or they'll say, send us your stuff, or not. So that's one type of the person, the in-house people. But then there's also production companies that make. And sometimes the production company is hired to come up with the idea as well. So you might have an in there of like, do you have in-house creative teams and writers for content that you then produce? And they might say yes and they might say no. The thing that I think you might run up against is the first question I think people are going to ask you is, well, let me see your work. And then it's like, oh, well, I'm new at this, but I think I'm going to be good at it. So then we want to see, have you Googled around, like literally, how do you become a writer for commercials? Like, you want to
Oh, but
see.
that's a good idea. I should do that. And because what I was thinking was, and I wanted to ask you about this as well, like what your thoughts were about writing a spec commercial or even just filming something.
I think the filming something, I mean, if you do it on your iPhone,
Right.
would be good.
Right.
The spec, I don't know enough about the industry to know what you would even need to show them, what they would be interested in seeing. That's where, but there's a course on everything. There is somebody out there on a YouTube channel or on one of these course platforms that is teaching people how to break into this industry. So that would be the first thing I would be doing, is like, oh, who knows how to do this? Even just to start to get the language of like, oh, that's what that person's called, and that's what that person's called, and I kind of want to be this position. So then you start sounding like you know exactly what you're talking about. That's the lingo of the industry.
Totally.
Yeah.
And
So,
I remember the guy, like, as I'm talking to you, like, little bits and pieces floating
Yeah.
back. I remember him saying something along the lines of, yeah, we don't, you know, we can't create, we need to go find people like out in the world because we can't create all of it, you know, in-house. But
Yeah.
there was this distinct sense that, like, it's still something that originates in-house.
Yeah, like the ideas. And then they might need people to flesh it out and then actually make it.
And I
But
think in his circumstance, he was using like kind of real life, like somebody who's from this actual community, and then they were highlighting this person in their bank ad. Be like, look, this we serve them kind of thing. So it
Yeah.
makes sense in that context. But I think you're right. I think I just have to like play around and like do my searching and until I get something that feels like it's in the neighborhood of what I'm talking about, until there's like
Yeah.
sense.
And okay, so there's the research part, the research, and then the networking involved with that. But then over here, is if you are really interested in this kind of work, you could find a brick and mortar place like your local bakery and just go in and go, I would love to for free film a commercial for you. You could have it on your website, you could have it on your YouTube channel and your social
Yeah,
media.
that's a good.
And then you would see if you even like doing it. Right. You know, you'd have to work with them, get their approval, right? Like writing the script and what do they want to say? Or, you know, ask them, like, you'd have to figure out what the public needs to know about them that would be compelling enough to get people in the door. That's what commercials are for. And then you can use your phone to shoot it and then edit it or have someone edit it to you, but like really craft this whole campaign into a 30-second spot and then see if they like your work. Now, if you don't like your work, you don't have to give it to them. You're doing this for free. You can just be like, oh, you know what? My grandma died. I have to go take care, and you just ghost them. But like, you know, but that would let you test the waters to even see if you like this. And if it turns out really well and the customer's really pleased, well, now you have a testimonial and some proof of your work. Then you could go do that again and say, I did this for this bakery. Here's the spot. I could do it for you for $50. And then you actually are getting some money, and it's nothing. It's just a just so money exchanges hands. Do it again as you're researching, as you're networking to even see if you like this, because you might not. And you'd be like, this is a hassle. And I hate working with the company owners with their input. I just want to do it myself. Like, you might not like it, but you might like it. But it would be good to know that sooner rather than later.
I mean,
Then.
any kind of production is a lot of work. And I really wish I had gotten that man's phone number so I could be like, okay, now what was that again? Because he just made it, just based on the little bit that I told him, he made it seem like, oh my gosh, this would be such a natural, you know, kind of next step. But I think you're absolutely right. I think it starts with the research and I'll get more clarity. Do you know what I
Yeah.
mean? But then I think you're right. If I decide that I want to move forward, you can't just say like, hey, yeah, I think I'd be really great at it. And do you want me to, like, you need to have something to show, obviously, you know. And depending on who it is, it might be a sample of my copy. Like, I'm really interested in creating something for like foster parents or foster parenting. It would be like companies or organizations with whom I felt aligned, you know, that I kind of liked it. And so, you're right. Like, I then need to create something, produce something. I think it would be easier for me to have okay, hey, I'm approaching this company. Here's just like, a sample of something that I would write for you, because maybe you do just hire me at first just to be the writer. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. So let me say. Now, the only reason I went over here and was talking about you filming a commercial is because
Because
you,
I brought it up.
yeah, you brought it up. Okay. So if
Right.
you are interested in like production, direction, doing the commercials themselves, that would be a way to get some stuff for your portfolio. But if you wanted to start or just investigate just being the writer without all the other part of it, then I would suggest you go to product independent freelance production companies and say, can I write for you? I will work on whatever you would like me to work on for 4 months for free. You do not have to pay me. I want experience. I want to figure out if I like this. I think I'm going to be really good at it. Blah, blah, blah.
I'm just gonna write this in my notes.
Yeah.
Finish. I'm not like, oh, like with the guy. Okay, so you
If
said
you're going to,
production.
independent freelance production companies.
Okay.
And you would set a time window, like, you'd ask them, like, who writes your stuff when you're hired to do a job? Who writes the stuff? Do you have enough writers? Do you ever consider new writers? Could I, volunteer to work for you for 3 months? Just to get my feet wet. I'm looking for someone, who would be interested in sort of an that sort of thing. And you're just looking for somebody who's like, yeah, sure, come on. But that would be a way for you to try your hand at it. And certain production companies, independent freelance production companies, certain ones do nonprofits, certain ones do, you can find ones that do the type of work you're interested in doing. But here's where we have to get really realistic. The budgets for just hiring a writer, even a freelance writer where you're paid by the piece or whatever, those, I'm not sure people have a lot of room in their budget for that. And most people are turning to ChatGPT to write stuff. So a career, and I'm not saying a career, but what I mean is like creating cash flow as a writer is going to be more difficult to do because of what AI offers.
Sure.
So that's a layer of research to do as well. How is AI impacting commercial scripts or writers for commercials or, writers in general?
Okay.
And it's not to be depressed about it, but it is to be like, okay,
Informed, yeah.
realistically, yeah.
Okay.
Because AI can't shoot something yet, but they can write something. It's interesting, and I don't want to dissuade you. I want to encourage you, but with a realistic bent, because there are people who have a lot more years of this under their belt right now, and even they aren't fully employed.
Sure.
So this is a tough thing to kind of come into
Yeah.
and expect to make it a stream of cash flow for you.
Yeah.
I think you could find ways to do it, but I'm not sure how much money is out there for someone who doesn't already have a career or a degree in it or whatever, or a portfolio of stuff. Now,
Yeah.
if we broaden out and you're like, I can write, I like writing, and I would like to figure out a way to use these skills and talents that I have. That's a larger lens than just writing for commercials.
Absolutely. That's an
So
excellent point.
Yeah. So I think that wrapping your brain around, a good thing to Google would be how are writers still useful in the age of AI? Or, because people have written pieces on this, and not everybody's right, but you want to read a few things to just sort of go, oh, okay, I see what's going on.
Yeah.
How is AI impacting jobs, writers in different fields? That would be a good thing to ask Google. How is AI impacting writers in different fields
Okay.
or writers in advertising and marketing?
Okay.
Yeah, because copywriting is going to go away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew someone who went from, sorry, Google, how is AI impacting writers in different in various fields?
Yeah, or in marketing and advertising
Okay.
specifically.
I knew someone who came from an acting background and a directing and a writing background, and she now, we're not in touch anymore. But she now is kind of like she's, so she works with a nonprofit and creates commercials for them. So I guess she, what she does is kind of similar to what this guy did.
Yeah. So find, I mean, can you find her? Or are you on, like, would you be on good terms with her, or did something happen?
No, we're not. We're not on
Okay.
speaking terms, but she is on LinkedIn and I can find her exact title and Google
Yeah.
that.
Yes. LinkedIn is a great place to find the vocabulary of this niche. And what you want to do is find other people who do her same job and contact them and go just like, I'm looking for, a state of the industry and where somebody like me could get a foothold.
Yeah.
See if someone will talk to you. And I recommend when you want to ask industry information, do it with people out of state, out of California, so you're no threat to them. You don't want to be calling people in LA yet, but you can call on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
And all you need is like a couple people to talk to you. And it's okay if people say no or whatever, but there'll be some people who are happy to pay it forward. And you can say, I would just love 17 minutes of your time. And if you're not getting anybody, you can say, because I've said to people before, I will pay you for your time. Like I will pay you, $90 to talk to me for a half hour so I can pick your brain.
And then I would basically ask them how they got, how they did it, like how they got to where they are.
Well, that's not the question I'd ask, because how they got to where they are is actually not applicable to you. It would be, how would someone in my position with my background, how would you recommend that I get started in the industry today?
Okay.
You see how that's slightly different? Because their path was done pre-pandemic,
Yeah.
pre-AI, whole other path.
Okay.
And it's of no use to you if how they got started was, well, I got a degree in this, and then I got my first job in the industry, and then I worked up the ladder. That's not applicable to you. So you would say, considering the industry today, how does someone in my position with my background, how would you recommend I, get a foothold in this industry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you one more question. That's all excellent, excellent advice. So storytelling is changing. You know, someone had just talked about, like, I don't know if you've seen online, they have like the 1 minute stories where like they'll tell you like a part of it and it'll be a minute and then they'll be like, you have to click to go to the next section. And I guess,
Oh.
and they're, I forgot what they're called, but they're really apparently very popular. So there's these different kind of formats and mediums now for storytelling. And I don't, I'm wondering what your thoughts are about, because I think ultimately, you know, I'm not necessarily like completely done with storytelling or acting per se.
Yeah.
I think what I'm interested in is creating stories, right? And doing them in, half like, what I'm the story that I'm passionate about telling, and also, I guess, in a format that is prevalent or applicable. So, what are your thoughts about if I were to explore that and then also use that as something to show kind of what my work is? I don't know. It's hard because it's like, do you want to go for this thing that's less your passion? Like, my passion would be more storytelling, maybe creating a short, maybe doing it in 1 minute increments. Do you know what I mean? Like, that would be more along the lines of my passion. Do you think it would be a bad idea to kind of explore that and have that be like the evidence of my work and share that, even though the categorically it's a little bit different? Like, it's not advertising, but it is film making that's potentially current, but that I would feel more passionate about. I don't know. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I don't, you don't have to apologize. This is an explore, this is exploration. I don't know enough about the people in the positions in the marketing world of what they consider proof, or not even proof, but like what they would see in that would translate to what they're doing that would give them confidence in you.
Right.
The answer could be yes, the answer could be no. It also always depends on what the person is looking for, because people have been offered book deals for doing things that weren't quite but like someone conceived of it, like, you know what, I think you have a book in you, and they had to convince the person, and then but it was another person's idea because they saw it, even though the person was doing something that wasn't literary related at all. So weird things happen. But the question for me would be, you want to do storytelling in some format, but is this about making money at that, or just doing it for the sake of art and for the sake of having something to show people?
Yeah, I think that is the kind of I don't want to call it a conflict, but if it's like, if it's down to like what makes you happy, what would you like to do, right? I think it would be storytelling, it would be creating something. But then I also, I know what it is for people who like spend 5 years of their lives behind an idea that they're super passionate about, and they create the story, it goes to two film festivals, and then that's it. And they've spent all their time and resources. Do you know what I mean? And like,
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
yeah, I mean, so me too. You know what I mean? And you've gotten the experience, but then you're kind of like, okay, as opposed to like, it's not necessarily the most pragmatic. So it's like the on the one hand, like I don't expect to like make a short film and make a living off of that. I think it's more viable in terms of like doing what you like to do, which is storytelling in that world, right? So that you increase your skill set, and then also you have you're in that world, so it wouldn't be such a like precious entity to create your story. You know what I mean? Like, am I making any sense? I just feel like I'm going blah blah blah, and
No,
you're
I mean,
trying to
I
roll
get
with
it.
me.
I get what you're saying. Like, there's art and there's
Right.
commerce.
Right.
It would be
Exactly.
nice to find something in the world of commerce that also felt a little like art.
Yeah, and that might
Right.
afford you the opportunity to go and do your art and not be so precious about it. Like you take 2 days and you make something and then it's done. And it's not like, oh my gosh, I spent 10 years. I don't, and then you're like pissed off because nobody cares. You know?
Denise, I would really, so this for you is like the summer of investigation.
Yeah.
It's the summer of investigation and research about what people are doing out in the world and what people are getting paid to do,
Yeah.
and who is hiring, and who might have even scholarship opportunities, because you do, as a person of color, there might be certain opportunities available for you to be involved in programs. We have no idea what's out there. And that's what this summer is for you. What is out there? And I would, Google, 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 search, 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 YouTube, 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 of like, what are artists doing and how are they doing your art? Just like you found that storyteller who does these little one or several storytellers who do these little 1 minute things. Who would have known? And you also, when you find people of like, oh my God, this person's doing this thing. When I find somebody that I'm like, oh, what are they? What's their story? I always start Googling to find old interviews with them or profiles about them that share their how they did it story. Because there might be a breadcrumb in there that I'm like, ah, never heard of that before. Or, ooh, they joined this organization. Yeah. So you want to find out what scholarships, what organizations are there to support artists, what training programs, what are other people doing, and how did they get to do that? And sometimes I found this artist before. I'm like, this guy's amazing. Oh my gosh. I'm like, how does he do this? And he has this little studio. And then, yeah, well, he has really rich parents and they fund him. So it's like, okay, good to know. But now the mystery is solved. But I like to know how people are doing things because it gives more knowledge of what's happening. So I think right now you have a few breadcrumbs, enough for you to start following them. But my advice to you is follow them, like thoroughly research, find out what is out there. Because what might happen, just like you met that guy who's like, hey, there's this thing. And you're like, whoa, I never thought of that. You're going to find more things where you're like, I never knew that's a thing. I want to do that thing. I never knew organizing was a thing. I read a one-page article in a magazine about this one guy who did it. This was before Google. You couldn't Google. And I was like, that's like a thing, a professional organizer. I'm like, I want to do that thing. How do I do that thing? So that's what you do. You just sort of follow the breadcrumbs. So now what you can do with cash flow is each month come to a session and report back of like, oh, I've discovered this and I'm curious about this and the. And you might have people on this call who also are able to be like, oh yeah, I know somebody in that field, or as you get to be more specific. The more specific you get, the easier it is for people to help you. Yeah. And you can also post inside the platform itself of like, hey, does anybody know this? Or I'm looking for this. Or yeah, that's what it's for. All you have no idea who all these people know. Yeah.
Yeah,
So
that's so awesome. Thank you.
you're on to something. I totally encourage you to be like, what else can I do with all these talents? How can I marry them with money?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank
Yeah.
you so much. That's
You're
wonderful
so
advice.
welcome.
I appreciate that. I'm definitely gonna, do my due diligence and report back.
Yeah, I'm glad it landed. Stay curious because, magic can happen, man.
Yeah,
Yeah.
totally. Thank you
Yeah.
so much,
All right.
Chris.
You're so welcome. Thank you, everybody, for coming on the call. Have a wonderful Father's Day, if that applies. And I'll see you next month. All right. Yes, next month it's July 13th, so we have several weeks before we see each other again. Take care. Bye.